have your Bibles this morning. Really want to speak to you about one word. This morning, everybody in this room, you've got a purpose. The will of God for you. I'm reminded, Jesus Christ, at a point in time in history, looked at his Father and said, I'll go. I'll be born in that manger. It took great courage for the Son of God to give up heaven, even for 33 years. How many of us would sacrifice for 30 years? How many of us would have the courage to do what's right alone for 30 years? Courage, Hebrew word here, internal fortitude, boldness, bravery, the ability to do what you ought to do alone. Bravery. In this story, God's trying to move perhaps 1 million people into the promised land. Moses' time is up, and he's looking for a new leader. And every leader, everyone that accomplishes the will of God, must have courage. Internal something that causes you to do what you're supposed to do in His sight if nobody else does. Bravery. Spiritual bravery. Everybody else is using foul language, spiritual bravery to not. Everyone else is doing this or that, spiritual bravery to say, Lord, I'm going to do Your will. Everybody in this room needs spiritual bravery today to accomplish the will of God for you. Every teenager, every mom, dad, you see, you're here for a purpose. God has a plan for you. Now, Moses got in front of the entire nation and said, you need to follow good leadership. You need to follow someone. You need to follow God's leader. And then all of a sudden he pauses and says, Joshua, come up here. And then Moses gives him a great challenge. Notice, if you would, in verse 7. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him, in the sight of all Israel. Now that's a challenge. Be strong and of good courage. Be strong and brave. For thou must go with this people. And folks, today, every one of you in this room, you must go and do the will of God. You must. I don't want you to stand before the Lord and hear Him say, well, here's your reward. And you have a little blessing of God. And you look back on your life as you stand before the judgment seat of Christ and say, I didn't do squat for the Lord. I have nothing to prove my love to Him for. Every one of you in this room need courage to do what's right for you in the presence of the Lord. You need courage to stick in the plan of God when others don't. You see, your life is not about all the stuff around you. It's about you doing and walking in the steps that the Lord has prepared for you. And in those steps, you're going to win people to Christ. You're going to make an impact on people's lives. You're going to be a light to the world. And different things come our way, different difficulties. You remember Joshua was one of the young men that Would you be a spy and go into the promised land and find out what it's like? And 12 of them go in and 10 of them say, oh, there are giants in the land. We can't do anything. And Joshua said, yes, we can. It took courage. It took bravery. It may take courage for you and your family to do what's right in your own family. Because your brothers and sisters are not doing right. Your family's not doing right. Maybe they're not saved. And you say, I feel all alone. You need the courage of God to help you to do what's right when others don't. Maybe it's at work and you're under pressure to bend some things, to do some things. You need courage. Maybe you're here today and you've not yet trusted Christ as your Savior. It's the Christmas season. You've been struggling in your heart, but you don't want anybody to know about it. You need courage today to make that decision. As a pastor, I think most people feel like a pastor is supposed to do what's right. We are. But to decipher the will of God, for me. Well, you say, well, Pastor, pretty easy for the will of God for you. You come to church and you preach on, you know, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and you do what's right, and that's the will of God for you. Yes. But that's the third will of God for me. And for me to keep those straight requires courage. Because that third will of God is the easiest part of my life. The second will of God is to take care of my home. Keep it right. And right now it's to take care of Susan. Take good care of her. Provide for her. Meet her needs. And my first will of God is to love Him and to walk with Him. And to never let Him down. And I'm going to tell you this. I have a lot of preacher friends that didn't fail in the will of God for number three, but they did number two and number one. And that requires from me great bravery. Lord, I don't care what others do, but I want to do you right, and I want to do her right, and I want to do them right. And juggling the three wills of God for me, sometimes I have to make a decision that doesn't feel right, but it is right. I just want you to understand today that God has a purpose for every one of you, and you must do it to please Him. You can't look at the world and say, you can't look at other people and say, well, I'd like to be like that, like that. The will of God for you and Joshua in this day was, Joshua, you must lead the children of Israel. But Lord, they won't follow. You must do it. But Lord, I'm going to be the only one that many times that says, Lord, we got to go this way. You must do it. And there's some men in this room, you need spiritual courage today. And there's some ladies in this room, you need some spiritual courage to do what's right because your husband's not leading the way he should. And there's some teenagers in this room, you need to do what's right because maybe your parents or the family you're with, they do not do what's right. And you need some spiritual courage to do what's right in school. All of us in this room, you've got to have spiritual courage, or my greatest fear and the third will of God for me is that you will not stand before the God of heaven and hear Him say, well done. Darren, well done. Rick, well done. Doug, well done. And so I'm trying to balance these three wills of God for my life and do the right thing for the people here and do the right thing for her and do the right thing for the Lord. And so I want to encourage you today. It takes courage to say, I'm going to get up in the morning and I'm going to spend time with the Lord. And Lord, I'm going to walk with you today. And I'm challenged because I get focused on various projects and I block everything else out. And the Lord's never supposed to be blocked out. I love Daniel because Daniel, morning, noon, and night, got alone with the Lord And at lunchtime, at supper time, and at breakfast time, or sometime they're around, he sat down and spent time with the Lord and said, Lord, it's just you and me now. That took courage. To have his devotions took great courage. You remember? They made a rule you couldn't pray. I wonder how many of us would follow the rule if our country makes a rule, don't pray. I wonder how many of us would have the bravery and the courage to say, it may cost me my life, but Lord, you're worth it. Courage. You know, we're not very good Christians, and we're not very strong in the Lord if we don't get up every morning and spend time with the Lord and spend time with the Lord during the day, and if we don't think about Him during the day. I'll tell you what, that takes courage. Because you have to set aside other things that nobody else sets aside to put Him first. It's a Christmas season. It's easy for us to maybe think a little bit more about the Lord, but you've got presents to buy and you've got trees to set up and you've got this thing to do and that thing to do. But do you lose sight of Him being first? That takes courage. It takes courage to pass these things out. It takes courage to avoid sin. Say, I'm not doing that. It takes courage for all of us in this room. This is the Christmas season. If you're ever going to have the courage to do the will of God and do what's right, it's going to be now. Now, every one of you in this room, you're going to face some challenges. This year, the last 2 years, have been the most difficult of my life. The challenges. The third will of God, Lord, we're growing. We don't have enough seats for everybody. We don't have enough parking. Lord, please, would you help us? Would you guide us? Lord, we're not interested in doing anything outside your will. Nobody is, but Lord, would you guide us? And so for 5 years, I remember praying and said, deacons, and we said, Lord, what do you want us to do? So for the last 2 years, we've been going through the county and doing all the paperwork and getting to the point where, Lord, I just don't think we can do this. I remember the day before the planning commission, 9 planning commission members. Lord, if they say no, now I want you to listen. If they say no, I led these people to buy $6 million worth of property with no promise we could build on it. Lord, I'll be very foolish if you don't do something. That was under great pressure. Because I felt like that was the Lord's will. But wow. Was it foolish? And then, about that time, Lord, we're going through and we're about ready to go through. And then, you know, as we're preparing for that, then the issue with my wife. Lord, I know duties don't conflict, but how can I do all this? I'll never leave you nor forsake you. It's a promise. And then, to be honest with you, in our house, we built a house 5 years ago and it was beautiful and wonderful, and we didn't build it for my wife's current condition, in a wheelchair. So the front door would ring and she couldn't answer. I'm going to be honest with you. She never complained. But it killed me. And the only way she could get out of the house, she couldn't go out the basement. Couldn't go out the back decks. It was too much. She couldn't get any place except the garage. And I built a ramp for her to go out, and it was steep. And she kept going down and tearing off the laser for the garage door. You know, she's not good driving anyway, you know. And so ever so often I'd hear this, and I'd go outside, and there's the parts of my laser out there on the. She said, I didn't make the turn. Really? No kidding. And so I'd tape it up and I'd go in there. And pretty soon I'd say, honey, go down easy. And so she'd go down like that. And pretty soon, I said, I'll fix it. I said, Lord, I've got to do something. Lord, I don't know what to do. And so the Lord gives us a piece of property and we're going to build a handicap house for her. I want you to know something. I've never done that. I don't know how. But I must. Because that's the second will of God for me. Is to take care of her. Lord, I can put you first and I can do what's right. But Lord, this second and third, I don't know what to do. I can be honest with you. Look in verse number 8. The Lord, He it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. The word dismayed is the word Hebrew word for fear and broken in hand. I can't go on. I can be honest with you. There have been some times in the last 2 years that I've been broken in hand. I'm embarrassed about it and ashamed about it because I didn't have the spiritual courage to know that my Heavenly Father would not let me down. I must do His will, but sometimes you can't do it by yourself. I'll be honest with you, I've tried. How many of you go out your garage door and you have 2 or 3 steps? Raise your hand. How many of you don't? That's what I thought. You see, they make houses where you walk down the steps to get in the garage. Lord, how can I fix that? So I talk to people, and I talk to people, and I talk to architects, and it may be, everybody in this room may know how to do it, but I didn't. But I had to. I didn't know how to fit this house where she could get out the front door. You got to understand. All of us in this room face these kinds of problems. Oh, it'll be health one of these days. It'll be Brother Bill Maddox one of these days for everybody in this room. Oh, maybe not cancer. But you'll get to the point of being dismayed, broken in hand. Then what? It's like the will of God for you is too much. It costs too much. It's too difficult. And all I want to speak to you about this morning is it's never too difficult. It never costs too much because He makes no mistakes. I think about Jesus Christ going to the garden and getting down and saying, Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. Father, if there's any other way for you to pay the debt of sinners, would you make it where I don't have to pay it? If there be any other way. Now that's the human heart of Christ speaking in our behalf. But He added one more sentence, phrase, not my will, thine be done. I don't know where Jesus Christ got the courage to allow Himself to lay on the cross and then drive nails through His hands and His feet. When the Bible says 10,000s of angels were perched in heaven saying, let us come and set you free. They're not worth it. the will of God does not conflict in your life. Joshua, I'm sure many times said, Lord, I can't make it. I don't know how to lead these people. Lord, I've never done this before. How many of you have ever come to difficult days in your life where you've never done this before and you face something that you've never done before? The young people do it every grade year. Algebra 1, never done this before. Algebra 2, never done this before. Geometry, never done this before. English, 9th grade, never done this before. English, 12th grade, never done this before. You know what? If we're not careful, we can get to the point where we can say, I don't want to do my best. Broken in hand. And all that means is that you're no longer doing the will of God for you. You know what? The purpose for which God made you, you're broken in hand. Now, what is your purpose this morning? Are you reaching the family members that you're supposed to reach? It doesn't mean they're going to get saved. It means that you're the light that allows them the opportunity. It doesn't mean your boss is going to get saved, but the will of God for you is to be his or her light. Are you broken in hand? I have to remind myself what it means and how can I have courage. One, I have to remember and persuade myself. How many have ever had to talk to yourself? Anybody? You had to talk to yourself and you say, now, Pittman, you can't do that. I can do an outline. And I can prepare a sermon, but can I do it with his power and not mine? That is the difference. It's not just doing your job, it's doing it with his power so that your job is a light to the world. Everyone in this room faces exactly the same challenge. Doing God's will for your life with his power and not your own. I bet you every one of you can go into your job and do it. But you know what you do that? I mean, I can come in here and preach or I can visit hospitals, but can I do it with my heart in it where the presence of the Lord is the power through it? That is the challenge. Oh, I can be good to my wife. I can love my wife. But can I do it through the power of God that affects her? To where she says, I want to please him like David does. I'm reminded that Joshua had a great challenge here. I'm sure there are many times she had to say, Joshua, I need to talk to you for a minute. Pittman, I need to talk to you for a minute. You'll notice, if you would, in verse number 8, and the Lord said, it is he that doth go before thee. Now, I like it. Notice the words. It doesn't say necessarily with thee at this point in time. He said before thee. Now, what happens when someone goes before you? What are they doing? Preparing the way. Do you understand that your Heavenly Father, that the Lord Jesus goes before you and prepares the way? As long as we follow, the way is prepared for us. You are not going alone and you're not going on a new road. It's already been prepared. Oh, it may have some ruts in it, but that's by design to help you grow. I wanted to be able to have... It just seems like sometimes everything is a grind. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Or is it just me? We bought this piece of property. We're going to build this house. This is the second will of God. And we live up a long road, about 800 feet. And there's three people behind me. And I said, you know, I went to each one of those people and said, now, before I buy this lot, I want to know, can I pave the road? Because I want to make sure Susan didn't hit a pothole and, you know, can't see at night sometimes. And I want to make sure that the road was smooth for her. I said, so can I pave the road? It's going to cost me thousands and thousands of dollars. And they all said, sure. It came down to the day, the week, I'm planning on it, November, I'm going to pave the road. I call all the people. I call all my neighbors, three of them. I said, I'm going to pave the road. I just want you to know I'm going to do it on this date. And all I need you to do is just not drive on the road for that day. And then the next day you can drive on the road. Would that be okay with you? And person one, person two, my lady next door, she said, oh, I'm so excited that you're paving the road. The next person says, we'll drive out the back. We're glad you're paving the road. Call the next lady and call her husband. He said, no problem. He said, we'll stay off the road. And then I get a phone call back and his wife said, is the road going to be open all the time? No, ma'am, I can't pave it if it's open all the time because you have to pave the entrance. She said, it has to be open all the time because I have to get out. I said, how am I going to pave it? I said, you know what? I'll wait until you go on vacation, then I'll do it. No, we need it done now. The will of God. Okay, let me ask you a question. I tell you what, why don't you, let me just, how do you want me to do that, ma'am? She said, I don't care, but I need it open, and it'd be great if you do it now. I said, ma'am, I can't do it now. If you're going to drive on the road, how would you like for me to handle this? She said, well, just however you want to do it, but we need the road open. I need it open all the time, and it'd be good to do it now. It was like I was talking to that wall. So I called the lady. I says, look, I tell you what, how about if I just wait till the summertime, if you don't mind paying a couple hundred bucks. Now I'm paying thousands, tens of thousands. I said, but if you don't mind just taking care of the little extra that it would be increased up, and I'll wait till you go on vacation, then I'll pay for when you're gone. Oh, no, we'd like to have it paid now. It'd be better for the winter. And we don't want to pay anything. Now, the Pittman in me, not the Christian in me, is beginning to rise. So let me get this straight. You don't want to pay a dime. You want the road paved, but you're not willing to stay off of it for 5 minutes. I already asked them. They already said yes. They changed their mind. I don't know what to do. I'm close to dismayed. And I wanted to dismay her a little bit in my unspiritual person. I'm saying, Lord, please help me to handle this thing right. Lord, please. So I went and sat down with her husband. And I said, look, could you please help me? I can't bring asphalt from the sky and just, there it is. I'm willing to pay for it. It's important to me. Is there any way that you could just drive the back road for one day? Well, I'll talk to her. I said, okay. He said, go ahead and do it. I'll talk to her. He said, I could drive her that day. I'm thinking, all of this, and you can drive her from here to there. Why would that happen? Why would somebody be that way? Because the old devil is trying to work in Pittman's life to get me to do the wrong thing. And it's been that way from step one, step two, to step three, to step four, step five, step six. And all I'm trying to say to you is that I'm no different than you are. The Lord's working in my life. And I have to say, Lord, I remember one thing. You're preparing the way. You're going before me. I don't know how. The Lord went before Brother Bill and gave him One of the best. I was walking through Johns Hopkins Hospital, and a gentleman, a security guard, was there. And I said, "Hey, how you like working at the hospital?" He's taking me to the pastoral office. He says, "Yeah." I said, "How you like working?" He said, "Well, I really like it here." He said, "You know, and how long have you been here? 20 years? Oh, that's great." And we're chit-chatting, and he says, "Well, you know, they don't pay a lot, and I don't do this." And he says, "But it's nice to work at the number one hospital in the world." And I'm thinking, so the Lord allows Brother Bill to get cancer, but he sends him to the number one hospital in the world with the best doctor in that hospital to work on him. I'm saying, the Lord's going before him. Brother Brandon's Josiah, the Lord's going before them. It doesn't mean there's some times where, no, you can't use it for 5 minutes. It can't be blocked. But I want you to do it. But I'm not going to help. And you get to the point where you say, "Lord, I'm in a box here. I don't know what to do." The Lord says, "I've already been there. I've got the way prepared." Notice the next phrase. "I go before thee, he will be with thee." Now it's kind of nice to know that he's already gone before him and he's already prepared the road. But not only that, he said, "I will be with you. I will walk the steps that you take by yourself. I will be there with you. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." So at this Christmas season, you are not walking alone. That does not mean the road doesn't have a pothole in it. It does not mean that somebody has said, "We're not going to help you." It does mean that you're not walking it alone. And the Lord says, "I am with you." And you've got to remind yourself that the Lord is with you no matter how difficult the road is, because it is the will of God for you. And you're to make a light in the midst of the potholes. I think of Elijah. When we get to heaven and look at Elijah, he's going to say, I did a good job, except there was this one day in my life. Jezebel said something and I got dismayed. And I got broken in hand. Abraham, you know, I didn't help, but there was this one day in my life when my wife made a suggestion that I use a plan of the world with Hagar and I had a son named Israel. Just one day. Do you understand? Satan just wants you to be dismayed one day. It can affect the rest of your life. "I'll go before thee. I'll go with you." What an encouragement. When he was standing in my garage and I said, "Lord, we're here together, but I don't know how to get that fixed. Who do I call?" Did you know I had a concrete guy that called me and said, "I'll check." And he went and checked the Boca book and sent me the copy of the Boca code that said I could do this. And I got three inspectors out there and showed them the Boca code. I didn't find the code. I didn't find the inspector. The Lord just sort of brought them there. And he said, "Okay, you can do that." But it was weeks of being dismayed, broken in hand. All I'm trying to tell you is, remember, he goes before you. He knows the problem. And he walks with you. What an encouragement. Notice the next phrase, quickly. He will not, what's that word? Fail thee. Do you understand? He promises you, "I won't let you down." There have been a lot of people in my family that have let me down. But not him. There have been people in this church that let me down. But not him. There have been people in other churches let me down. But not him. I've let people down. But he hadn't let me down. I will not fail you. I could have a list as long as my arm of people that have failed me. But one name that will never be on it is the Lord Jesus Christ. He won't fail you either. And you got to remember, whenever you're on the road and it's got a pothole in it and you're struggling and you say, "Lord, I don't know how to do this." And you're getting close to being dismayed. Dismayed is when emotionally you've broken down to where you just say, "I can't go on, Lord. I don't have an answer." That's the time you turn back and remember, He's already gone before you. He is walking with you, and He will never fail you. Or forsake you. But He asked us to do two things. Don't be afraid. And don't be dismayed. I'll close with this. I don't know how Jesus Christ in the garden went to the cross. I don't know where He found the courage. When I get to heaven, it's one of the things I'd like to ask Him. Lord, how did You, as the King of Kings and the God of Gods, go to the cross? How did You suffer knowing the suffering was not worth what You're getting me? I want to know why, how He did that. Sometimes we can suffer if we know the suffering is worth it. But for Him, it wasn't worth it. How did He do it? And I want to remind you of one thing. He had something none of us in this room will ever have. Do you remember when the clouds, when it turned dark about noon, 3 o'clock? Do you remember what the Bible says when Jesus looked up and said, my God, why hast Thou? Did you read the verse back there? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. How did Jesus on the cross endure the cross? Being forsaken of His Father. I don't know. I have a couple of heroes in my life, I've said before, and Jeremy is one of those. Because I've seen him do what's right when it would have been difficult for me. I'll never forget, after he'd gotten beat up and his jaw had been wired together and he finally took 8 months to be able to speak again. And I asked him, I said, son, what are your plans? And he says, well, as soon as May comes, I'm going back home. Oh, Lord, help me to have that kind of courage. To go back to the place where the pothole was. And keep doing what's right. There have been many days in my life. I watched Susan in her wheelchair rolling down the road in this hallway. We've been married for about almost a year and a half now since she lost her leg, and I've never heard her one time say, this wasn't fair. I've never even heard her complain. And so she's my hero. And that's the reason why I must take care of this house. It's not just a house. It's doing something for her. It's the will of God to make it a little easier for her to do what's right. And all of you in this room, we all have the will of God for us that's tough sometimes. And all of us will have some heroes. But the one you got to remember the most is this. Lord, You've already gone before me. You said You'd walk with me. I will be with thee. And I will not fail you. It's Christmas. All He asks is, don't be dismayed. Don't let yourself get broken in hand. When you come to the end of your rope and you don't know how you can go forward, turn back and say, Lord, I forgot. You're with me. How did Daniel live in a foreign land without family, a long life, and rise to the top? Because morning, noon, and night, he kept the Lord first. He did the first will of God for his life. He didn't have a second will of God like I do. He didn't have the joys of a wife and family. But he did the third will of God. And he reached a lot of Babylonians for Christ. He was a light when the road was dark. Today, Let me ask you a question. Is your road kind of dark today? Even though it's the Christmas season, financially, emotionally, relationships, I just want to challenge you to remember three things. He's before you. He's preparing the way. In Uganda, I was there a couple years back, and Jeremy, I noticed the plows coming through and plowing the terrible roads. And I said, Jeremy, they're preparing the roads for you guys. It's wonderful. He looked at me and says, yeah, that's because the president's coming. I said, what do you mean? He said, he'll be coming. I don't know when, but he'll be coming the next day or two, because they always come before the president and smooth out the roads. They're not perfect, but they're far better than they were. And you know what? I learned the lesson. He goes before me. I don't see it. I don't know it. The president of Uganda never sees the bulldozer, but it's always there, making his road smoother. And the Lord Jesus is always there for you, before you, taking care of the road. Two, he said, I'll walk with you. Three, I will never fail you. With those three promises, can we have great courage to do the will of God? Every one of you in this room, can you do the will of God for you today? That's what he asked for us to do. I'm going to tell you this. Your family depends on it. Your husband depends on it. He may not know it. Your wife depends on it. She may not know it. Your children depend on it. They may not know it. Your parents depend on it. They may not know it. But everybody in this room, you've got a will of God for you, and you must do it. Just like the Lord said to Joshua, you must do it. Today, are you doing the will of God with courage? Maybe you're a little bit dismayed. Why don't you come today and say, Lord, this is the Christmas season. I don't know how you did it for me, but by God's grace, I want to follow your footsteps and do it for you. Give me courage. Courage to pass out tracts. Courage to be a witness. Courage to do what's right when nobody else does. Courage to do your will like you want. Let's bow our heads for a prayer this morning. Maybe you're here today and you're afraid and dismayed. The will of God for you has taken a unique turn. Would you be willing to say, Lord, I know you. You won't fail me. I never see the plow that's preparing the road before me, but I know it's there. We're going to have a word of prayer. Maybe we need to come this morning and say, Lord, I forgot. Give me some courage. I want to do you right. Can I challenge you today to live with courage like Joshua did? Lord Jesus, you see our hearts today. Would you help people to do your perfect will? Give them the courage, dear Lord, to trust in you and to make a difference.